The sermon this week is called Christ's Death and Our Death in Christ. The scripture reading is Colossians 1, 15-23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Jesus never viewed his death as defeat. We want to hurry to the resurrection. But Scripture never says our sins are forgiven because of Christ's resurrection. Jesus made it clearly known. His death is our victory, and he invites us to participate in his death. If I had the opportunity to preach one sermon to the entire universe, this is the sermon that I would preach this morning. So I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about Christ's death and our death in Christ, our participation in that. The very worst day in the history of all mankind turns out to be the greatest day. Most people don't view it this way, but it's true that the greatest event that ever took place since the time of Adam and Eve cast out of the garden is the cross of Christ. When Jesus said these words, "It is finished," he wasn't talking about his death. He was talking about what was happening, that at the moment of his death, a new world began. Though very few people knew it. Creation, it is finished. And a new creation has begun, where sins are available to be forgiven. Up to that point, people would sin and hope that God's mercy would be enough. But it was at his death that Jesus said what God said. At creation, when it was finished, God said, "It is good. It is finished. The creation is finished." And a new world exploded. At the death of Christ, it wasn't just by chance that Jesus said, "It is finished." He could have said a zillion different things. He could have said nothing, but he's making it clear to the people there who would notice, and through all the centuries right up to today, for people who would notice that Jesus was saying what God said. It is finished. A new world has just begun. And even though the resurrection of Christ is wonderful, it's not the resurrection of Christ that forgives us of our sins. What good would it be to live eternally lost in our sins? It was at that moment, at that time, that Jesus said, "A new world has begun." Now, last week, we talked about the blood of Jesus. And Paul and John and other people continually talk about it in a positive way. In Ephesians 1:7, in him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Revelation 1:5. To him who loved us and freed us from our sin by his blood. Not the resurrection. The resurrection's wonderful, but it's not there where our sins are forgiven. In him we have redemption by his blood. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much so as even to shrink from death. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for you know it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot, without blemish. Paul said, I determined to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. A new world began for all of us. So how do we participate in this amazing event? And I want to talk a little bit about what we have sometimes called over the years sacraments. So when we have communion, people are invited to participate in the death of Christ, also in ultimately his resurrection. So that's one of our sacraments. Although in our church fellowship, we usually don't use those words, but it's those special things, those things that are unique. And even though we can get so used to having communion on the first day of the week, which I think is a really good thing, I think it's also good on occasion to just maybe set aside another time during the week, especially if you're going through some really difficult times, family difficult times. Someone shared this with me a number of years ago, and the first time I heard it, I thought, well, I don't know if that's a thing that somebody should do. And that was that they got some communion. They just got a little cracker and they just got a little juice. And it was that participating with Christ. Christ, I need to be close to you. And in praying, there is that closeness. But there's something about a sacrament, listen now, that allows us to participate with Christ. So when we take the cracker, we're saying this is Christ's body. When we take the wine, juice, this is to participate in his blood. So we go, yeah, okay, so we take it. But if we could stop and think about it, it is a participation in the death of Christ. It's God asking us, inviting us to participate in the worst day in the history of all of mankind, yet the greatest day in the history of all mankind. Does that make sense? He asks us not just to know it, but to participate in it. And it really is profound. If you want to follow along in your Bible, I want to just read this scripture. It's a little bit lengthy, but in my mind, it's a beautiful passage. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 10, he says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So we have sacraments, things that are special. We have communion. And there's also a baptism. When I was a boy, the constant sermon themes, at least what I heard, was be baptized so your sins can be forgiven. Your sins could be washed away. And as a 12-year-old boy, I thought that was a good thing to do. By the way, I still think it's a very good thing to do. But nowhere did I ever think for a moment that there was a participation in Christ. I was being baptized so that my sins would be forgiven. I really didn't think too much about Christ, which is a strange thing to say. The sermon was, Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, he did this for you. If you'd like your sins forgiven, be baptized. So I was baptized. But I never thought, it was almost like Christ is here and here I am. And so I don't want Christ angry with me, so I better do this so I can sort of be with him. But there was still this distance. Does that make any sense? I just did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. I think it is the right thing to do. But I never thought, never once did I think what Paul reminds us of. What Jesus said, that a new world has begun because of my death. And I want to say to each and every one of you, Jesus says, I would like you to participate with me for the rest of your life. I'm not just talking to God. I'm not just talking to Jesus. It is an ongoing dialogue. It is a participation. It's not standing in the grandstands or sitting in the grandstands looking. It is getting on the field and participating with Christ. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, in you, participating with you. And I never thought of baptism in those terms. If I had a sermon to preach that I would like everyone to hear, it's this. Christ invites each one of us to himself, to participate with him. And we sort of know this, don't we? One of the last things Jesus said was, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. Now, with that, I want to go back and begin reading again in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Don't you know that all of us were baptized, who were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? No, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know it. It was just something I didn't know it. Now I know. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into what? Death. His death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him, participation, like this in his death, participation, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection, participation. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. That's our story. The death Christ he died to sin, so that our sins can be gone once for all of us. And the life he lives to God. And if we are participating with Christ, in Christ, we say the same. Then we live for God. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's participating. Participating with him. There's no distance. It's this communication connection that goes on and on and on. Maybe just because I'm getting a bit older, I think a lot about the birth of new babies in our families and friends' families. And what can we do, what can I do to just let them know how loved they are? And to let them know that they're safe and secure with loving, with just being loved. and that there's a story that one day you're going to be told. And I want you to believe this story, that you are not just coincidence, that God knew you before you were born. He knew the exact time and places in which you would live. Psalm 139, Acts chapter 17. And that Jesus has given himself to you so that you, even though you're a 1 week old baby or a 2 month old baby, that you can participate with the one who allows you this time here on earth. We're not just coincidence. God chose us in him before the creation of the world. How important are you to God? He chose us in himself even before the creation of the world. God knew you even before he made Adam and Eve. And he invites us to participate with him. It's the story of death, but it's the story of a participation in his death, so that our death isn't just, that's it. No, no. It's an ongoing life story with Christ. So in our baptism, it talks about this in several ways. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, it says, having been buried with Christ in baptism and raised with Christ through your faith and the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. I just think it's cool sometimes, and it's taken me a long time to get to this point now, where when I do baptize someone, have the privilege of being in the water with them, and when I say I baptize them, I just lower the body down and lower the person up. You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do about it. But if somehow I can remind myself to say to every person being baptized, Christ has always been with you. He said he'd never leave you and never forsake you. And now you are immersing yourself. You are washing yourself. You are dying to yourself with him. You are participating in his death. Oh, and you're participating in his resurrection. This is the story that God has invited us to participate in. The first New Testament book that was written was actually the book of Galatians, where there's a lot of conflict between Jew and Gentile, between old law and grace, and they're trying to figure everything out. Paul wanted to make this clear. You are all children of God. This is Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You are all children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, you participated with Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Isn't it the coolest thing to know that the God who created all things invites us to live with him, to participate with him, to enjoy him? What many of us consider the worst day in the history of the world, Christ's death, turns out to be the greatest day in the history of all people. So when Jesus was going to leave, what would he say? Now we know because the Bible tells us. But I thought about this early this morning. If somehow, and I know it's a ridiculous thing to do, if somehow you could put yourself in Christ's shoes, you've died, you've been buried, you've risen again, you promised everyone that you would always be with us, what are the last words you would speak? What would you say to the people that were around? If you happened to be there, what would you say to the people around you? Maybe we'd say something like, you better get this. This is the ultimate ultimate important thing, you better get this? Or would you say what we would say to our children and grandchildren? I always read Matthew's account and thought it was with a stern voice. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. And you better get that. I don't think he saw it that way at all. I see him looking into the eyes of people he loves. And maybe as he's speaking it, he's thinking about the people who would live, even in our time, 2019, here in October, here in Beamsville, Ontario. Maybe he was thinking of you because he already knew you before you were born, and that one day you would be sitting there and someone could say, this is not a command, it's an invitation to participate with him. Listen, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, and please remember, I will always be with you. I suspect most of us in this room have people whom we love, even though they have passed away many years ago. And we feel as close to them today as the day they were with us. But we know that we will be together again, because our life is wrapped up in their life, and their life is wrapped up in our life, and all of our lives are wrapped up in the arms of God. And so, what's the greatest day in the history of the world? It's the death of Jesus. His life for our life. And he invites us to participate with him. So if you're here this morning and you've been thinking about baptism, you've been thinking about giving your life to Christ, we would invite you to do that. We would invite you to participate with Christ himself, and that we're witnesses here who would be willing to help you at any time. We have elders in this church, and I'm available in this church. If you feel any time that you want to know more about this and talk more about this, we would invite you to speak to every one of us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.